Isaiah 49, and this is found on page 610 of the Pew Bible in front of you. Isaiah 49, 14 through 15. And it says, "But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me.' Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are great and you are mighty. And Lord, you do not forget, but you are gracious and you are merciful and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, may we not forget this. And Lord, by your Spirit, may you remind us that you do not forget us and that you are compassionate. Lord, we do pray now that you would help us to look to you. And though we struggle in the things of our lives and in the distractions, and we struggle with the things of the week, Lord, here now we pray by your Spirit that you would focus our hearts on you. Lord, we pray as you are the giver of good things and you are so generous, Lord, we pray that you would build us up. Build up our faith in you. And Lord, build up Ocean Park as a community of those who look to you as their only hope in life and death. We pray here now, Lord, that you would help us to see things that we have not seen and to tell us things that we have not heard, Lord, about you, that it would build our faith and build our love for you and for others. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And if you would remain standing for the prayer of illumination. And if you would read along with me. "Teach us, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and we will keep it to the end. Give us understanding, that we may keep your law and observe it with our whole heart. Lead us in the path of your commandments, for we delight in it. Incline our hearts to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn our eyes from looking at worthless things and give us life in your ways. Amen." So, you may be seated. We do have a special treat this morning. It's Pastor Matt Owen. Thank you, Pastor, for coming and serving us in this way. I know you and Chris are good friends. So, again, thank you for loving Chris and loving us in this way. So, please come.
Good morning. Good to see all of you today, and good to worship with you today. Let me get my notes up here. A couple things that I want to say to you just as we get started this morning. The first is, again, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. We're glad for you. I'm sure that this church is filled with great moms. Because I've met a few of you, and so you seem to be doing great in the mom department. So you should be celebrated today. Also want to recognize that this is a hard day for some people. There are people in our midst, some who have struggles that we know about and some that we don't. There is a childlessness, the desire for children. There's the difficulties of children that have not gone the direction that you would have wanted them to go and that have brought grief to you. And we know that not everybody has had a good experience with their mothers. There is an expression of thankfulness for natural affection of mothers for their children at the beginning of the service. And that happens often, but there are exceptions to that. And there may be people here who have had an exception. And so this is a really hard day for you. And so we just want you to know that that there's a whole spectrum of experience of that, and we see all of those experiences. If this is a difficult day for you, we pray that God would give you grace. If this is an exciting day for you, we pray that you would feel celebrated. The other thing that I just wanted to say is what a joy it is to be able to preach to you. This is not the first time I've preached here. I've preached one or two other times. And as has been said, Chris is a really good friend of mine. I just had lunch with him, I think, this week or last week. In the recent past, I had lunch with Chris. And I just want to reinforce the good of him going on a sabbatical and you being willing to send him on that and his family on that. I don't like to overplay this, and I wouldn't say this to my own church, but because I'm in another church, I can say it here. The work of pastoral ministry is pretty difficult. I don't like to necessarily say that it's more difficult than anybody else's job, because I worked in the secular workforce for a long time as well, and there's certainly plenty of difficulties there. But there are some unique difficulties in pastoral ministry, and it is such a gift that you have given to Chris and his family to be able to go on a sabbatical. We were able to go on one in 2022. Our church sent us on one, and it is, you have to think about investing in your pastor for the long haul. And there are things that you can do to invest in him for the long haul so that he can keep on being your pastor. And I just want to say to you, you guys know this, but he loves you so much. And he pours himself into this in ways that you probably know and ways that you probably don't know. I have sat across the table from him and had him crying about people and situations at church. And if you've ever wondered whether he is invested in you, can I just assure you he is so far all in invested in you. He loves and cares for you very much. And so I want to thank you for giving him this gift. I promise you, it's an investment. When you go on a vacation, if you go on the right kind of vacation, there's ones that don't do this. But a vacation is supposed to be recreation. It recreates. It's an investment for other time that you spend at work. And this sort of thing is an investment, not only in his well-being, but in yours. And so I hope you see it that way. And I just want to say good on you for letting him do that. All right, those are the two things I tell people at my church too. My time doesn't start until now. I get to say those things, and now my time starts if you're a clock watcher. All right, so if you want to be in Isaiah 49, we're in Isaiah 49. Oh, yes. I'm not a good multitasker, so I got to do this. And then you guys tell me if I stand in front of this light, you guys just do this for me. And I'll look puzzled for a minute, but we'll get there. All right. Isaiah chapter 49, if you want to be there. We'll have the scriptures on the screen behind us as well. But I want to talk to you, first of all, about a condition that affects a wide variety of mothers. This condition affects pregnant women before they've even had a chance to have their baby. It affects mothers with young children. But it can affect mothers with children who are going up even into the teen years. It's a condition that even can impact mothers who are raising children who are not biologically theirs. It is a kind of forgetfulness that has been referred to sometimes as momnesia. Have you ever heard that term before? Or there's another way it's been described as mommy brain. It's a kind of mental fog that just blankets the minds of mothers. There's an article in Parenting Magazine about the factors that go into mommy brain. These are things like imbalanced hormones, sustained sleep deprivation, stress, diet, and the constant multitasking that comes from motherhood. Amidst all the heroic things that moms do to keep their tiny humans or not so tiny humans alive each day, after everything is said and done, there's just not much space in the brain left to remember where you left your keys, or how many days it's been since you had a chance to take a shower. You probably know this, but it's interesting that there are a couple of instances in the Bible where the Word of God describes God using terms of a mother. One of those places is the text of Scripture that we read together this morning in Isaiah. And just let me remind you briefly of what's going on in Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to a people who are going to be taken into exile. This is the kingdom that's going to be conquered by Babylon. God has given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and to turn from their ways. He has shown them much mercy, and he's promised them that if they do not turn from their sinful ways, then invaders are going to come, and they're going to be uprooted from the promised land, the land that God had given to them, and they're going to be placed in another land. And so Isaiah is consistently giving people that vision for the future and inviting them to turn away from it. But even as Isaiah speaks of what is eventually going to happen, there is mixed in with this promise of judgment the assurance that in spite of the fact that the people are going to go into captivity, that they're going to go into exile, they are going to be restored. God is not going to forget them. He's not going to leave them. He's not done with them. He's going to bring a remnant back from exile. And so Isaiah is assuring the people of this, but they've got some objections. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 14, it was said, "But Zion," which is a way of speaking to the people of Israel, "but Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me.'" The people are wondering if the exile is a sign that they have been forgotten. But God answers that objection, and this is really interesting what God does here. He answers that objection by comparing his commitment to them to one of the strongest bonds of human relationship on earth. One of the strongest bonds of human relationship on earth is that of a mother for her child. And when God is reaching for a metaphor, when God is reaching for terms that his people would understand, it is that relationship that he reaches for to explain his commitment to his people. So look with me at verse 15. God responds to that objection by saying, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. Yet, I will not forget you." God promises his people through Isaiah that he could no more forget them than a mother could forget a small child. And this is as true for God's people, us. This is as true for us today as it was for God's people in Isaiah's day. It's Mother's Day, so we're speaking about mothers, but this is not just a Mother's Day sermon. This is for the people of God who are gathered here this morning. And I hope to look at three parts of this verse and just reflect on it a little bit so that you can be encouraged by the hope that the Scriptures give. Here's the flow of the verse. You don't have to write this down because we'll be able to come back to it. But the flow of the verse, we're going to start with a question. This is simple stuff. Can a mother forget her nursing child? That's the question. Then there's an exception. Even these may forget. And then there's a promise, "but I won't." That's basically the flow of the verse that we want to reflect on this morning. So let's start with the question. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? obviously, the assumed answer is, of course not. The fierce loyalty of moms for their children is legendary, isn't it? What do we call a mom who can transform into Hulk mode when a threat comes to her child in some way? We call her a mama bear. Because an otherwise mild-mannered person, when their child is wrong or threatened, becomes a force of nature that you do not want to mess with. You may have experienced that from your own mother. Mothers are intensely protective. You do not want to get between them and their children. And they are legendary in their self-sacrifice for their kids. I read an article, a story, several years ago about a woman by the name of Elizabeth Joyce. Elizabeth Joyce had agreed to be in a documentary with several other pregnant women that was going to be called 40 Weeks. And the point of the documentary was just to pick out several different women from several different walks of life and just follow their journey through pregnancy and do a documentary of the various experiences that they had. Elizabeth Joyce had agreed to be in this documentary, but soon after agreeing to it and soon after becoming pregnant, she received the difficult news that she had cancer. And when she received that news, she was faced with a couple of choices. Choice number one, and was the choice that the doctors recommended to her, was that she abort the child and receive the life-saving cancer treatments that she would need to fight this disease. The second choice that she had was to go on a regimen that would basically give her a much less effective cancer treatment, but would not be harmful to the child that she was carrying. And Elizabeth Joyce chose the latter. She chose to keep the child, and she chose to go on this treatment plan that was not going to harm the child. And she carried the child to term and gave birth to a beautiful, healthy baby girl. As soon as she had given birth to that beautiful, healthy baby girl, she was able to go on the more intense cancer treatments like chemo and radiation. And she was on those treatments for 6 months, but after 6 weeks, she ended up losing her battle with cancer because of she had chosen not to receive her own life-saving treatments. I'm going to guess that almost every mother, if perhaps every mother in here, would make the same choice. And you would make that choice without even really having to wrestle with it. You would have to wrestle with the reality that as you were giving life, yours was being taken. But you would not have to wrestle very much with whether you would offer and sacrifice yourself for the well-being of your child. We have mothers in here, and I don't know your stories, but we have mothers in here who have done greatly sacrificial things for your children. Even when we are at our lowest, when everybody else in the world has abandoned us, mom's usually there. Somebody that's been caught up in some sort of crime and is standing trial, who's sitting on the front row every day, no matter how horrific the crime, it's usually the mother. And we have mothers here who have stood with their children through some very difficult things. So let the Bible ask you the question again. Let God ask you the question again. Can a mother forget her nursing child? The answer is no. Mothers don't forget their children. They may forget a whole lot of other unimportant details, but they literally give of themselves and of their bodies to nurture and love and protect their children. So when God's people dare to suggest that he might abandon them forever, that's the relationship he points to say, no, 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 that couldn't happen. So, we have the question. Can a mother forget her nursing child? But the middle part of this verse admits that there are exceptions. So we want to think about the exception for a moment. The prophet Isaiah admits there are some mothers who do forget. And of course, there are some mothers that are without the natural affection that most or many have. But even the best mothers forget sometimes, right? I'll give you another story. Story day. This lady's name is Cherish Peterson. A few years ago, Cherish Peterson was out grocery shopping with her four kids. And after grocery shopping, she did what we all do, pushed the cart with the baby in it and the kids out, loaded up the van, went home. When they pulled into the driveway, one of her other children said, "What about baby Huxton?" And she said, "What about him?" And when she turned and looked into the back seat, she realized that she had unloaded all of the groceries from the cart, but her 2-month-old baby, who had been in the carrier, she had left in the shopping cart at the grocery store. Of course, she is panicking, and she races back to the grocery store to find her baby. Fortunately, a police officer had driven by and seen that there's just random baby in a shopping cart in the public's parking lot. And so the police officer was able to push the cart into a haircut place that was right next door to the grocery store. But it took her about 40 minutes all told by the time she got home, pulled in, realized the baby wasn't there, went back to the grocery store. And can you imagine how frantic that you would feel? And of course, there's a police officer there. So now she's actually in legal trouble for child endangerment. This people that were there immediately began posting pictures of this shopping cart with a baby in it on social media. And this woman receives like a storm of criticism for what had happened. And to be clear, that's a pretty big mistake. But it's one you could make. With four children to care for, one of them being a 2-month-old, she just lost track. She thought she'd put the baby in the car seat and was home with everyone. Many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, could have made the same mistake. And so there are exceptions. None of us always act from our best intentions, do we? Most of the time, you and I have the best of intentions. Most of the time, you and I intend on keeping our word. Most of the time, you and I want to do what's best for the people around us. But the problem is, we are changeful, forgetful human beings who get distracted by all sorts of things. And so even with the best of intentions, sometimes we forget. If you came from a good family and you had a good mother, even your mother probably forgot some things for you sometimes. It happens, even with our best of intentions. But now we want to think about the third piece of this verse, which is the promise. The promise is this: yet I will never forget Oh, thank you. You. I will never forget you. Even though the best moms sometimes suffer from mommy brain and forget, God is not like that. What you get in God is the fierce, protective, loyal love like a mother, combined with a God who never forgets you, even for a single moment. Remember that parenting article that I pointed out at the beginning that gave some of the common culprits for mommy brain? Well, let's think through some of those culprits once again. One of the contributing factors to this is imbalanced hormones. Our bodies just don't always do what we want them to do they? The chemical mixes that we are not stable compounds. None of us are. We are incredibly changeful. We wake up feeling certain ways. We go through things, and our bodies go through things that we can't fully even explain. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. One of the amazing things about God is that you always know what you're going to get. You may know someone close to you better than anyone else in the world knows them, but there are still some days when you wake up and you don't know what you're going to get with that person. Because they don't either sometimes. But every day that you wake up, you know exactly what you get with God. He is stable. He is unchanging. He is the same as He was yesterday. He is the same today. And you can count on whatever mental state you wake up in tomorrow, He'll still be the same. Another factor is the factor of sleep deprivation. Especially when you are a new mom, there are a lot of things that go into keeping a human alive. And those humans are loud, and they have constant needs, and they want constant attention. And especially if it's your first time through this rodeo, every noise they make sounds like a dying noise. At least that's the way it was for me. Every little gurgle or cough is scary. The cumulative effect of sleep deprivation can be pretty significant. But consider this verse in Psalm chapter 121, verses 3 and 4. He, God, will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Sometimes moms are so exhausted that even holding the child to feed the child, there's a danger of nodding off and falling asleep. We try not to fall asleep sometimes with a baby in bed next to us because we might roll over and hurt it in some ways. We need sleep, and the longer that we go without sleep, the more irrational we become, the more changeful we become, the more irritable we come, the harder it is for us to think clearly. There is no cumulative effect like that for God. He never needs to sleep. He never has an inattentive moment with you. He never gets home from a long day of upholding creation and just says, I need a minute to me. The The creator of the universe can give you 100% of his attention 100% of the time. Be encouraged by that. Stress. How many of us are stressed? We experience so much stress. And parenting can be so stressful because there's danger everywhere. Every cabinet has potential danger. Every stairwell has potential danger. Every little puff might not dissolve fast enough and is potential danger. And then there's the fear of what could happen as our children grow. What world will they grow up in? If their behavior doesn't change, who will they turn out to be? What if I'm not able to be here for them? What if they fall under the influence of other people who are not going to influence them in the right direction? There are so many things that bring stress on us. And then there are all the things outside of our children, all of the other stresses of life that we have to deal with, the difficulties of marriages and relationships and work. And we see in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27 that the Bible says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" God just doesn't get stressed. All the things that he's doing all the time, giving you 100% of his attention 100% of the time, it does not drain him. Sometimes we're so busy we don't eat properly. And diet can be a factor to mommy brain. And so we grab what we can, or we go through the drive-through again, and our diets contribute to our lack of well-being. The Bible says this in Psalm 50 and verse 12, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine." God isn't hungry. He doesn't need anything. And he has never needed anything. God's needs have always been, he doesn't even have needs, but God lives in perfect Trinitarian relationship without need of anything. But even if he did, he wouldn't ask you. And he wouldn't ask me. Because if he hypothetically needed anything, all of creation is his. Listen, we feel under-resourced sometimes, don't we? I don't make enough money to keep all of this going. Or I don't have enough relationships around me to hold me up. Or I don't get enough sleep. Or I don't have fulfillment in these areas, or there are all sorts of areas in which we feel under-resourced, but God doesn't feel that. He's never thinking, well, if only if I had a little bit more of this, I'd really be able to have things in order. The whole world is his and he needs nothing. The last one I pointed out from that article was this idea of multitasking. There are so many things going on. Some of it's self-inflicted. We do a lot of scrolling. But there are a lot of things going on. There are people that need to be taken from point A to point B and then back from point B to point A. There's work to be done. There's relationships to manage. There's just the fact that we know so much about the world that we live in. Cultures in the past didn't know every civil war that was happening across the globe. But now we know and carry it all. And our minds are fragmented by all of the things that are going on and all of the things that we need to remember. And when your mind is, when you are constantly in the mode of multitasking, sometimes you forget stuff. And sometimes things slip through the cracks. But Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do you feel like you just run from one plate to another to try to keep everything spinning? God is doing it through Christ for the whole universe right now, and it isn't even taxing him. By a word, molecules hold together, and gravity works, and planets spin, and the ocean tides come in and out, and the moon is locked on our planet, and there's stuff happening in galaxies beyond galaxies beyond galaxies that's probably similar to the stuff happening here that we don't know about, and I don't really understand any of the things that I just said, but I know they're happening. And I know that there's science behind why they're happening. And then I know that behind the science, there's a word that says, keep going. And that word is spoken without effort. Even these may forget. But if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, then hear the word of the Lord. Yet I will not forget you. And we've got some good data backing that up. A God who doesn't need to sleep. A God who doesn't get tired. A God who doesn't need to eat. That he can give 100% of himself to you. 100% of the time. So, let's finish this way then. Why might you, having heard what we've just talked about, why might you and I be tempted to believe that God has forgotten us? And you don't have to answer that out loud, but I'm just reflect. If that's true, why don't we believe it? And I think there are a couple of factors that are rooted in that, that are the same factors that would have been rooted into Zion. The people of Israel, God's people, they would have been tempted to disbelieve what God said for the same reasons you are and for the same reasons that I am. There are a couple of reasons that we want to reflect on as we close this morning. One is circumstances. The other is our sin. Circumstances and our sin might lead us to disbelieve this. Their circumstances was the approaching exile in Babylon. They were tempted to believe that God would forget about them. We often view our perceived negative circumstances and real negative circumstances as an indication of God abandoning us. So what we often do sometimes is we equate, if I'm experiencing difficulty, and I'm sure there are people here experiencing great personal difficulty, it feels like my circumstances are telling me something about God's presence. If my circumstances are negative, God must be gone. If my circumstances are positive, God must be here. But that's not how it works, is it? Our circumstances are not a reliable indicator of God's presence or awareness of us. The Psalms are filled with poetic outpourings of people asking questions, God, why have you abandoned me? And why do they feel that way? Their circumstances. But so often those psalms resolve with a recommitment to the faith that God's near even when I can't feel him. God is near even when you can't feel him. Would anyone here say that at some time, that maybe now, and certainly at times in your life, it feels like God has pulled off in the minivan with the other kids and you're stuck in the shopping cart? It feels that way sometimes. When you're going through your own personal tragedy, your own personal difficulty, and it just seems like you're seeing the taillights head off into the distance. And everyone else is going home. And everyone else is experiencing the presence of God. But I'm not. We're tempted to believe sometimes that God must be concerned with other things. Bigger things. Perhaps more important people. Or perhaps God is somewhat like us, multitasking, and somehow we just got lost in the shuffle. If there's somebody here wrestling with that this morning, can I just encourage you? God has no more forgotten you than a loving mother could forget her baby. And your circumstances are not an indication of His presence. Sometimes we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean you don't have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The difference between a Christian and a person who's not a Christian walking through the valley of the shadow of death is that the Christian has someone with him. And even behind what seems like frowning providence is God's smiling, pleased face. Be encouraged by that. We're also tempted to believe that God might forget us because of our sin. Israel certainly thought so. They thought that their sin had finally gone so far that their sin, had reached the limits of their saving. Have you ever felt that way? Where your sin has reached the limits of God's saving? That after a while, God says, this is a lost case. We fear that perhaps our sin can separate us from our Savior. And when we don't feel God's presence with us, we sometimes make the assumption that perhaps this promise that God remembers is for people who are doing more for God. The people that are doing a great job at obeying, this promise is for them because God would have to be more inclined towards them, right? Because they're doing better. That's called works righteousness. And it's a rejection of the Christian gospel. Moms, I'll speak to you specifically. You know your failures as a mother better than anyone else. And you probably judge yourself more harshly than anyone else. You know the guilt that you carry from every harsh word that you've spoken. And you have spoken harsh words. We all have. You've thought thoughts that if someone else knew, you wouldn't be allowed with your children again. You might be tempted to believe that God will lay you aside because of your sin and forget you. But all of us need to hear God's word to a sinful people, because in the very next verse, verse 16 of Isaiah 49, God says to a sinful people, not his good at obeying people, not as people that are sticking close to him and saying, we love your law and we want to walk in your ways. He says to his sinful people, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Why do we write stuff on our hands? So we don't forget it. Some of you probably have your children or your grandchildren tattooed on your body. And even if you're afraid of the needle, maybe you've got a bracelet or a necklace or something so that your children's names are on your heart all the time. Now, how would it change the way you thought about your relationship with God if you realized that the same thing was true of Him for you? That His hands are big enough to have every single one He loves engraved on, so that you're not forgotten. Even if your children grow up and disappoint you in some ways, you don't regret having their name on your arm. And here's the thing about God the Father, is we don't grow up, He's not waiting to see how we turn out. He knew you were a lousy person when He saved you. He knew exactly what He was getting into. And He said, yeah, put it right here. Your sin cannot separate you from your Savior. We've talked about the things that God doesn't forget. There is one thing the Bible tells us that God does forget, and it ain't you. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. The one thing in all the scriptures that God chooses not to remember, chooses not to hold against you, is your sins and your lawless deeds. The blessing of the gospel is that while God chooses not to remember our sins, He will never forget the ones who commit them. If you're with us this morning and you aren't a follower of Jesus, there's an invitation here. There is an invitation to experience the love of a God who will not, cannot forget you. A God who could know everything about you. Every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. The things that you have already done in your life that can't be undone. The things that you are most ashamed of. God could know all of those things and still reach out to His hands to you and say, come. I said that moms literally give their bodies for the lives of their children. The Bible tells us that God sent His Son to give His body for the children that God loves. We're going to celebrate it in a few moments. He gave His body so that we could live. So the question I want to ask you this morning, if you're without Christ, is this: do you want to live? Not be alive, but do you want to live? If you will repent of your sins and turn in faith to the work of Christ, He will save you completely and forever on His hands. So I close again I want you to hear the verse after we've reflected on it. I want you to hear this verse in a new way, and I don't want you to ever forget it. Can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? That would be ludicrous. Even these may forget. Even the best of moms do sometimes forget. Yet I will never forget you. Let's pray and ask God to press that into our hearts. Lord, we so often feel forgotten. We so often look at our circumstances and wonder if you have left us. We sometimes look at the sin in our own hearts and wonder if you could still love us with all we've done or with all we've failed to do. I thank you that the grace of Christ is so strong. I thank you, Father, that you gave your Son to have his body broken and his blood shed so that by that broken body and shed blood, we could live. If there's someone here who does not know Christ, I pray that you would help them to turn in faith this very morning. And Lord, to those who are downcast and discouraged, Lord, may you help them remember that they are not forgotten. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.